You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
Tonight we're going to talk about some issues in life. You guys are confronted with them daily, whether it's at school, on TV, a magazine, a newspaper, the radio. Everybody is passionate about something. They're trying to promote some agenda, and they're trying to stand up for some cause. And so everybody has something they stand up for, whether they know it or not. Your words and your actions are determining what your beliefs are. And so tonight, we're going to be able to identify what we believe in some certain areas, and it's going to be based off the word. And then you're going to learn how to walk that out confidently. Sometimes we have passion, but as soon as we come up against opposition, some people kind of back off a little because they don't know how to handle that opposition. And so tonight we're going to talk about some very serious, passionate issues that will probably get some of you riled up. I know as I was studying today, I just wanted to like stand up and shout and do something about it. And so that's my hope for you, is when you hear about some of these things, that it creates a response in you, that it gives you something to stand up for, and that you can identify what you believe. Because sometimes in these areas, there's gray areas. And so my hope is that when you leave, you have more answers than questions. As I teach you, I'm not going to try to create a bunch of gray areas so that you have more questions when you leave. It should be very clear what the word says on something and how you can respond to it. And so to begin, before we turn to the scripture, I want to talk to you guys about one specific area. With this passion comes a lot of, attitude. Let's just say attitude. When someone's very passionate about something, they're very strong. They're very bold. And your generation specifically is very passionate and cause-driven. And I want you to be passionate. I want you to be driven by something. But sometimes the world has taken this to an extreme. And when they take their passion to the extreme, they develop these attitudes, and it turns into rebellion. And so you have a lot of people in the world that are rebelling against traditional values. They're rebelling against the Word of God because they feel this way about something. And so tonight, we're not going to go on feeling. We're going to go on what the Word says about some things. But the first one I wanted to address is the issue of respect for authority. There's issues right now with people respecting their authority. And that's not just the world. It's everyone in here has parents. Everyone in here has teachers. There's opportunity for you to disrespect authority. And so it's up to us to say, what does the word say about that? What does it say about my authority figures? So turn with me to 1 Peter 2:13. It says, for the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent, and then it goes on to talk about, the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that you honor, that your honorable lives should be silencing those ignorant people who make foolish accusations about you. Stopping right there, what does that mean? That your actions should silence people around you. People can't speak ill about you if you're doing what's right. And so just by doing what's right and speaking what's right, that is going to determine what people could or could not say about you. And so as it talks about obeying authority, it's your actions that determine what people would say. Then it goes on to say, for you are free, yet you are God's slave. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. And love your Christians and brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the king. Now, the one part I want to focus on this is the first verse 13. For the Lord's sake, respect all human authorities. Does it say all human Christian authorities? All authorities you agree with? No, it says all authorities. You're going to have opportunity throughout your life to be under authority of people you may or may not agree with. And if someone walked through this room, let's give an example, the President of the United States. I may or may not agree with some of his things that he stands for, but I have to respect the man. I have to respect his authority and his position. He has been placed in position over us. And so there's a difference between agreeing with and respecting. I don't have to agree with him to respect him. I honor him as a person. I respect the seat. He's worked hard to get where he's at. And whether or not I agree with how he got there and what he stands for, he is in that position. Just like there's police officers out there and there's people who have riots and are upset about being something's done wrong to them. You still have to respect the authority. If you put a hand to an officer, you will be arrested. Doesn't matter if you agree or disagree with them, the law states that you cannot put a hand on an officer. And so we are told in the word to respect our authority. And your generation, and I'm not saying you, but your generation as a whole is the type that says, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, and how I want. And they're going to do it at any cost. And it doesn't matter how old they are. There's an entitlement that what I think matters, and whether or not you agree with me, I'm going to push that on you. And there's this song that I was flipping through the stations, and I heard it. It's called Young, Wild, and Free. And it's by Snoop Dogg and Bruno Mars. I can only read a few of the sentences in this song because the rest is explicit. But it states, so what if we get drunk? So what if we smoke weed? We're just having fun. We don't care who sees. So what if we go out? That's just how it's supposed to be, living young and wild and free. And really, that's the attitude of your generation. I'm not saying everybody thinks that smoking weed and getting drunk is okay, but the attitude in this song is the attitude of a lot of kids out there. So what people think? So what you say or tell me to do? I'm young and I can be wild and I can be free. We're called to a different kind of freedom. We have a truth that we have and that we're standing on. It's not a freedom to go indulge in our sinful nature. It's a freedom to stand up for truth. It's a freedom to speak what you believe. And as indignant as they are about being able to do what they want, no matter how illegal it is, you should be more passionate about what you believe. It should be more popular to think your way than this way. Turn with me to Romans 13:1. It says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against God, which he has instituted, and they will be punished. God has put things under authority. This nation was established under his authority. Now, whether or not all governing officials in place would tell you that, that's what the Constitution was written under. And so when it says, was created under God, that's the point of the government, is it's to govern the people. It's to create safety for people. It's to empower people to believe what they want to believe. But at the same time, people are standing up for things that are wrong. And so how much more should you be able to stand up for something that's right? And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's some issues we talked about. Out of the heart flows issues. There's a lot of issues right now. People have a lot of issues that they're dealing with. And you guys see it every day. Whether or not you go to a public school, you still go to the grocery store, you still see the tabloids and the magazines, you can still flip on the TV and within minutes see what the commercials are advertising. Nowadays on a commercial, you never know what they're advertising because half the time it's promiscuous, it's tempting, and then you find out they're selling a razor or they're selling shampoo. And all the while you thought, I think they were advertising something else. But that's in front of you all the time. And so it makes you think all of that is okay. And it's not. Just like that song when it talks about, so what if we get drunk? So what if we smoke weed? I'm young. I can live wild and free. Messages like that make people think that that's okay. They sing them in their cars. They have a cool beat. They get that down into their head and they start to develop this attitude that I can do what I want, when I want, how I want. And it goes directly against what the Word of God says. Drugs and alcohol are not okay. I don't care what you say. The Word says to obey the laws of the land. The law says drugs are illegal. It says if you're under 21, you should not drink. So all I have to address in here is I'm talking to the students. And so all of you are under 21. And so you're to obey the laws of the land. Yet you see people at school who come in with these smells under their breath. I was at Albertsons the other day and this guy walked by and I was like, wow, it was weed. I thought he might be smoking right next to me. It was so strong. And I looked at him and he was probably in his late 40s and I think, do you not have anything better to be doing? than just smoking weed? And who are you leading in your life? You know, my mom went to her 40th high school reunion a month ago, and she said nothing had changed. There, she's 58 now, so these 58, 60-year-olds were there, and they were the ones who were smoking pot in high school are still smoking pot now. The ones who were getting drunk in high school, still getting drunk. So you go to these little functions, you know, that you go to dinner and you see everybody you haven't seen in years, and then the after parties are the same parties that they went to when they were 16, 17, and 18. Still in the backyard smoking weed, still getting drunk, needing to find someone to drive them home. Nothing had changed in 40 years. And so you think, oh, it's okay, I'm just experimenting a little bit now. I'm just trying things out. When you open the door to that, it opens the door to other things. And it can continue and continue and continue. Substance abuse, it's not pretty. It leads to poverty, injury, disease, and death. When you open the door to one thing, it opens the door to something else, which opens the door to something else, which is why you keep the door shut. And so, why am I talking about this? I've never even seen weed before, Jen. I don't even know what it smells like. You will have an opportunity at some point in your life to know what these things look like and smell like. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to public school, but then I went to private school. But every Friday, I'd go to my dad's football games. And every Friday, I'd smell something new. Like, Mommy, what's that? That doesn't smell like perfume. I didn't have to experiment with these things to know what they were. And so you could be naive and be like, that's a funny smell. Oh, it just must be an odd shampoo. Must be a weird perfume. But those things, you laugh and you giggle at them, but people who are dealing with those things in your classrooms or when you're at the store, they're going through things. I see people who are alcoholics and their eyes are bloodshot, their skin is really red, and they're already looked 20 years older than they really are. It takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on your emotions. It takes a toll on your attitude. It affects how you think and how you feel. These things are real. That's why they're illegal, is because they cause you to change who you are. And so I'm not going to go in deep of why we shouldn't do alcohol and drugs, but I wanted to talk to you guys about, some people say, so what? It doesn't matter. It's my body. Well, we've already identified who our body belongs to. So the world can use that excuse, but I don't want to hear that from any of you, because your body belongs to him. He gave you your body, and it's your job to honor it. And it, you know, there's, I was in high school once. I went to prom. There were after parties. I actually went to one, and it was a huge debate in my house. Yeah, I saw some eyes just go, what? Yeah, I went to it. I was actually 18 at the time when I was a senior. So I went with my friend to prom. There wasn't, you know, I was like, he's just my friend, and we're just going to go to our other friend's house. And they're like, is there going to be alcohol? Well, I don't know. Well, maybe you should find out. Well, even if there was, I'm not going to drink it. Well, that's okay. Because when the cops show up, they don't care who has it in their hands. It's who's on the property and in the vicinity of that alcohol. And so you guys might be thinking, so it's okay. I'm going to be the light at that party. Turn with me to Romans 13. Romans 13:13 says, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Do not participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. It said it, I didn't. When you guys are tempted by things like this, your opportunity to be the light is to create an alternative for those things. When these opportunities present themselves and everybody that you want to be hanging out with going to that party, think first, why is this so important to me? Who are all those people, and why aren't they on this side of the line with me? We're talking about boundaries. So where do your boundaries lie? Who are you hanging out with? What are you doing? Because it's very clear right here what we should or should not be doing, but yet we feel like doing this or we feel like doing that. And just as much as you're going there to be a light, someone who's not talking to you will think, well, they're here, so that's okay. Look, if they're here, then that's okay for me to be here. Or if they're holding, they don't know what's in your cup. And so people make judgments without even talking to you, just based on observing you and observing what you're doing and where you're going. And so it's just as important to be a light in the light as well. Don't intentionally put yourself into darkness with the excuse, I'm going to be a light in this situation. That's justification. Stand on these words. And if you're sitting here going, Jen, I don't agree with you, I still think it's okay, at the end of tonight, I'm going to talk to you guys about, don't take my word for it. That's why I'm giving you scripture for everything I'm saying, because it's not my opinion. I did go to that party. No, the cops did not show up. Do I regret going? Yes. There's things that go on that I never should have gone on, and I left early because I realized I should have not been there, and so I just left. I ended up driving people away. Don't use the excuse either. Well, I'm just going to go because I'm going to be the designated driver. Find them another designated driver or convince them not to go. Because nobody in here should have friends who are doing the same thing either. And if they are, your job is to be a light and a love to them. And so when we talk about these things as well, it's not for you guys to stand up and just beat people over the head with this word. It's to love them through this because they haven't seen the light yet. You may be the only light that they see. And so how you treat them and how you respond to them may indicate whether or not they want to be part of that light. And so that's why it's important for you to be just as passionate about what you believe as they are what they believe. The next one I want to talk about is a few social issues in the political realm. You guys may think, well, I can't vote yet. There are things that affect you right now based on who's voted certain people into office. And there's certain political issues that directly affect what you are allowed or not allowed to do, or directly affect what you're being taught. There's history books being rewritten because people didn't like what was put there in the first place, and so they're rewriting them, so now people are being taught as if that's truth when the original truth has been taken out, which is right here. This is now considered a theory when that's what your nation was founded on. And so you guys know the truth, and so you may be in a classroom that tells you this is theory, and you may be the one person who has the opportunity to stand up and to speak truth into that place. And so although you may not be able to vote right now, you have an opportunity to create awareness and to get involved in different areas so that when you can vote, you know what you're voting about. You know what you're creating for the people after you. Because people right now are making some poor decisions, and it's affecting you guys. I'll give you a few examples. You have these political parties, Democrats and Republicans. And growing up, I always be like, I remember second grade, President Bush was running against Clinton. And I was like, I'm voting for Bush. You know, and we had classroom votes. And so we all voted even though we couldn't vote. I was really voting based on what my parents were saying because that's all I really knew was what mom and dad were saying. And so a lot of us grow up believing whatever mom and dad say, or you intentionally believe the opposite because there's some rebellion going on, or you're searching things out for yourself. Maybe they do believe what's false, and so you have found the truth. But sometimes we intentionally do things just to kind of, you know, stick it to somebody. But I grew up just saying what mom and dad said. And I had to find out that when I went into that voting booth at 18, mom and dad couldn't come with me. Mom and dad couldn't tell me which people to vote for and which things to veto or to add. It was up to Jen now. And so Jen had to have a belief system based on what she believed, not what mom and dad believed. And so it's important for me not to just go Republican or Democrat. Okay, well, I'm going to side with this party. So I'm going to vote everything that party. I have to know what that party believes. So today I went online and I was just looking at party comparison. And some of the big issues are abortion, gay marriage, Israel, and God. That's the four on this party comparison sheet that I have. And so it compares each party's view on those things. Well, I didn't mention health care. I didn't mention taxes and the economy. Because I'm talking about issues, social issues, that affect life. Now, we can vote based on money, and we can vote based on the economy, or we can vote based on the values in here and let God take care of the rest of that other stuff. Because when you vote for what's right, right will follow. And so you have to identify, what do I believe on these things? So one of the issues I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight is same-sex marriage. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6:9. Yes, I said that. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy or drunkards or abusive or cheat, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed and you were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of God, you're saved. If I was to say that scripture, and that was all from the word, that was not Jen, in Canada, I would be arrested. You are not allowed to say homosexuality is a sin. It's illegal to say that. So right now, if we were in Canada, any one of you could call the authorities on me. They would come and they would take me to jail. Now you guys laugh. But there are many, many, many people who are trying to do that very same thing in America. They're trying to take away your freedom to say that. And you guys laugh at that and you say they can't do it, but they're already doing it. It's already in legislation. They're already trying to do things to go that way. But I didn't say my opinion. I said the word of God. Practice homosexuality. Well, not. It's a sin. I said it. And I could go to jail for that. That's how serious these things get. It infiltrates society. It happens in one, and we think, that's outrageous. That would never happen here. But if you guys Googled homosexuality and law, you'd see right now that they're making it hate crimes. It's not a hate crime to be aggressive towards a Christian, but it's a hate crime to tell someone homosexuality is wrong. So they're creating these things to defend people. And yes, it is wrong to bully anybody for any reason. Don't get me wrong. But my point is they're creating these laws to protect a specific group of people, yet another group of people can be attacked and there's no basis for that. And so this kind of thing is very, very serious. In 1996, the federal law did not define marriage. So just in the last 15 or so years is when this all started. And I remember when I was in elementary school at this time and it became this big issue. The federal law didn't recognize it. It was in 1996 the Defense of Marriage Act was defined explicitly as the union of one man and one woman. And that's called the DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. But the Defense of Marriage Act is now under serious attack, very serious attack. Same-sex marriage is only recognized at the state level still. So when these states are making this legal, it's on the state level. That's why it's important who you elect into your state. You think it's just the president that's important. There's people making decisions on your behalf for things like this. You say, it's not on my behalf. They're making decisions for that state. So whether or not you voted them into office, it is on your behalf, whether we like it or not. Same-sex marriage is recognized at the state level. The Defense of Marriage prevents that DOMA Act prevents federal government from recognizing same-sex marriage, and it allows the states to refuse it. However, there are now six states that legalize same-sex marriage. That's Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, and Vermont, as well as D.C., where your White House is. Now, there's two Native American tribe jurisdictions that recognize it. There's also two other states, Washington State and Maine, who have passed it, Maryland as well, for 2012. And it says, but they will be subject to a referendum during the November 2012 elections. Washington is where I'm from. This has been in my face for years. Now, that's just now 8 or 9 of the states. And so some of you don't hear about it because you're in the conservative state of Texas. But in other states outside of this conservative Texas bubble, this is a big deal, a huge deal. Where I come from, it's now illegal, and it is legal to have same-sex marriages. They're talking about, I just looked up things tonight when I was studying for this. They're now making it so that some churches will get in trouble for not allowing same-sex couples to get married in their place. Exactly. These things are going on, and you guys are shocked, but yet nobody's doing anything about it. They think, that could never happen. Down here, how does same-sex marriage become legal? Same-sex marriage is legalized through court rulings and legislative action, not via popular vote. What does that mean? These things are made legal through your legislatures, through your judges that are voted into office. There wasn't a vote that went out in these areas. There wasn't a vote in Washington who believes this should happen. It happened in legislation. It happened in the judges. You hear about judges interpreting the law. That's why it's so important who gets put into office, because there's people standing up for things that you don't believe, and they're making decisions that are going to affect you. I went to a, city council meeting last year, for Fort Worth. And it was the leader of the gay rights movement for Fort Worth was there, and they were debating some things that they wanted to see happen. They are pushing in Fort Worth to have all these rights. One of them is that taxpayer dollars would pay for sex change operations. Right. So these things are happening even in conservative Fort Worth. They have an agenda that they want to make Fort Worth and Dallas the new San Francisco. That is their agenda. You know what they said? If we can do that to Fort Worth, Texas, we can do that to anywhere. You think I'm making this stuff up? I'm not making this up. There is an agenda out there to try to push these beliefs on the population and to transform what people believe and to get you arrested for speaking up for the truth. This, you know, when you read about people being imprisoned for things, it's not reality for us because we don't get imprisoned for necessarily what we believe. But you hear about that in China and you hear about that in other places. I'm from Washington State. Canada is 3 hours north of me from my home. I used to drive across the border all the time to go hang out up there. I'd go to church conferences. I'd go up there for the weekend with my friends. And now it's just 3 hours away. I could drive up there, I could speak this truth, and I could get arrested. That's how close it is to us. But yet half of you don't know anything about what I was just saying because, no, that would never happen here. Yes, they are trying. And that's why it's important for you guys to know this, because when you're in your schools, they're going to tell you it's okay. And they're going to teach you about these things. When you guys have sex ed in now elementary school and junior high, they're going to incorporate these kinds of topics into sex education. They're now doing that. They're now making it mandatory for certain schools to incorporate this type of education into their public schools. And so people are being told that this is okay, this is right. And then you're being told in some places that you can't stand up for it. So it's extremely important for you guys to know who is put in place over you. And you're thinking, well, Jen, I still can't vote. It really doesn't matter right now if you can vote because you have a voice. And if all of you spoke up for something and stood up for something, there's many different ways in your schools for you to get involved. There's many different ways in the community for you to get involved and to stand up for something. The next one I wanted to talk to you about is abortion. Abortion is actually very common. According to Planned Parenthood, do people know what Planned Parenthood is? They're the activists for abortion. According to them, 1 out of 3 women in the U.S. have an abortion by the time they're 45. 1 out of 3 people. So you take 100 people in this room, 30% of that, just to give you like a visual of people. That's a lot. There's a lot of people who go through these types of things, and we don't even know about it. And there's two types. There's the clinical abortion, and there's a pill abortion. Some people think, oh, it's the pill. It's not a big deal. You shouldn't have to take something. Let me put it this way. If something's not alive, if something's alive, there's life and death, right? So if something wasn't alive, then why would you need to kill it, right? So something's alive, and that's why people are trying to kill it. Now, there's all these debates. Well, it's an embryo. It's a zygote. There's heartbeat at conception. So as soon as a baby's formed, there is a heartbeat. To me, that's life. And so we can debate all day whether at what term, at what week this becomes a baby. But to me, a heartbeat equals life. And so when we talk about this, you're thinking, okay, it's abortion. It doesn't affect me. Well, one thing you guys may not know is that in some states, you don't even need parental consent to have an abortion. There's not even an age limit on that. You're thinking, what? According to Planned Parenthood, they have every state listed on their website. You can go onto it, and it shows you every state's rule. But Arkansas requires that one of your parents give permission for an abortion, but a judge can excuse you from that requirement. In California, Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, and Maine, no parental involvement is required. So where I'm from, I believe Washington is the same, a student can go and have an abortion and their parents will never know. They can even go to the school nurse and say they want an abortion and the school will help them go do that and mom and dad will never know. Now you're saying, that's a lot of freedom. I was at Walmart 2 years ago with a friend and we have some, it was for work and I needed to buy supplies, so I had Sharpies with me and the girl ahead of me was gonna pay for them. We were working together. She was 17. They carded her for buying Sharpies. Carded her. You have to be 18 years old to buy Sharpies from Walmart. But at 14, you can go have an abortion. Does anybody see what's wrong with this picture? You have people making laws to protect you from Sharpies just in case you might sniff them and get high off of them. But it's okay for you to go and to have an abortion. So I'm not allowed, that girl, they said, I'm sorry, we can't sell you Sharpies. I'm thinking you're not going to sell a 17-year-old Sharpies, but meanwhile, what else can she go do? And so there's these people passing laws that are determining what you can and can't do, and a lot of their reasoning's a little skewed. I think you should be able to buy a Sharpie. I don't think you should be able to have an abortion. But you're allowed to without mom and dad knowing. And then it goes on to every other state. Some people you have to get, one parent has to at least be notified. You just have to let them know this is what I'm going to go do. But they don't tell you about what these things do. So you guys are, you get your license at 16. So they give you enough responsibility for that. But you can't even vote for these kinds of decisions till you're 18. But the decisions of these votes are determining what you can and can't do right now. And so I'm not telling you this so you can go and announce it to everyone. It's not a good thing at all. But they don't tell you this either. It just kind of happens in the secret, off to the side. And they don't make announcements that these things are voted into. Why is this a big deal? Because the law is being stated for you guys and allowing things to be done that are going to affect your future. It's going to affect your friend's future. It affects other people. And it's a very serious thing. Back where I'm from, I remember when I was 14 and I was getting an x-ray and the doctor asked my mom to leave the room because they wanted to ask me if I'm pregnant. Because the x-ray might hurt my baby if I'm pregnant. And I said, my mom doesn't need to leave the room. I can be open in front of her. And so I asked, why would you even need to ask me that? They said, because if your mom was to leave the room and you told us about the baby, we wouldn't have to tell her about the baby. So your mom has to sign a liability release form for you to go do some school outing or sign your homework sometimes or different things at the beginning of the year, but yet they don't have to sign different things for this. And so that's breaking down that family union. It's giving you guys that freedom to do these different things or to talk about these things and to spread the word, and it's taking parents out of the equation. There's a reason you're dependent on them. You need them for certain things. They're to train you up in the way you should go, and they're trying to take parents out of the equation, thinking you can train yourself up in the way you should go. And you guys might be sitting here, I'm pretty mature, Jen. I can make a lot of decisions, and really, I'm almost on my own anyway. Well, we don't have to have that debate tonight. But with all of this freedom that people want comes responsibility. Because as soon as responsibility comes, the reality comes, and you realize there's probably more to it than you realize. And so there's a lot of responsibility that can come with making these kinds of decisions. And you guys are surrounded by people making these kinds of decisions, and it's important for them to know the truth in these scenarios. I don't even have to go through tons of scripture about abortion. We talked about the Ten Commandments last week. And number 6 in the Ten Commandments, do not murder. A baby is a life. Killing a baby is murder. And where I come from in Washington, it's very environmental. Save the whales. Save the trees. Hug one. But yet it's okay to kill the babies. That whale, that salmon, that tree is not going to affect eternity for anybody, but that baby will. And so there's these agendas out there to protect all these little forms of life, but yet the real important form of life doesn't have any value. And so it's important for people like you to speak up for these voices that can't be heard right now. Turn with me to Psalms 139. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before even a single day had passed. Oh, how precious your thoughts about me, Lord. They cannot even be numbered. This is a picture in my mind of what being formed in a mother's womb is, how much care and attention was put into something. And then there's a law that says there is no value on that life. But he valued the life so much that he intricately formed it in its mother's womb. And so the next time someone says that it's not alive, it doesn't have purpose, it's not human yet, it was woven together by God Almighty. It has a purpose. And it's our job to give voice to those things that don't have a voice. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, if you turn there real quick. It says, today I give you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. If you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land of the Lord sworn to you by the ancestors of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have blessing and you have curse, and you have life and you have death. And we hear so much, choose life. That's not just with our words. That's not just with adults. That's in every form of life, choose life. And so if this is an issue you're still kind of gray on, or you're still wondering, bring it to the Lord and ask him, if I didn't give you enough scripture to determine life and death or right and wrong, get away with him. Find out what you believe about these things. If some of you probably have gay friends in your classrooms at school, you have family members that have come out of the closet, you know of people who might have had an abortion. I know of someone who had an opportunity to have one and they chose to give the baby life. I have friends who have been adopted because their single moms were in high school and got pregnant, and they chose for my friends to have life. And so there's opportunity for you guys. You may say, this will never be a problem for me, but you have people around you that you can witness to, that you can encourage. And it's not to say, like I said, to beat people up over these things. We're to hate the sin but love the people. And so there's a very clear way to do this. You don't have to necessarily agree with someone to like them. Just like I said, if President Obama walked through the door, I didn't vote for him, but I need to respect him. And so there's going to be people who have done these things or who are doing these things or are very adamant about what they believe, and you're very adamant about what you believe, but we can love them through those circumstances. We can, in love, communicate these things to them. Because how many of you know when someone comes at you already yelling, you kind of turn them off, you tune them out. And that's just like if we come at someone throwing the book at them, they're going to tune it off and turn it off. And so it's important how we approach people in this. Turn with me to Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up with the one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of the law. What does that mean, summed up as the commandment, love your neighbor? All of those commandments are rooted out of love. I don't kill because I love. I don't cheat on someone because I love. I don't steal because I love. And so love never fails. Love always wins. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. Now, before I go any farther, we all know God is love, right? And we are in him and he's in us. So we can be love too. And so To help me renew my mind to what love can look like in my life, I've taken love and put, Jen is patient and kind. Jen is not jealous or boastful or proud. Jen is not irritable. Jen is not rejoicing about whenever the truth wins out. But love never gives up, never loses faith. Jen is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And so when you come up against people who don't believe what you believe, you're going to have an opportunity to exercise this love. You're going to have an opportunity to be patient, to be kind, to not take record when you are wronged. And that's really when love comes into action, is when there's opposition. And you have an opportunity to walk in love. You hear that a lot. How do you walk in love? You abide in love in Him so much that your responses come out as love. And so when I have family members who, for lack of a better word, are gay. And it was kind of uncomfortable when I was little. And so I had to learn, how do I walk in love? Every time I meet them, I don't say bad things to them, make comments about it, but I love them through that circumstance. When I go home, I'm very open about what I do. I mean, it's clear I'm a minister. They know where I stand on things. But there's a way to interact with love. And the more I love them, the more they're going to want to be around me and hear what I have to say. And so that's exactly how you walk in love with some of these people at your school or some of your friends. Government debate class and history class are usually where you're going to encounter most of these things. And I gave you guys an example last week of my college government class. Lots of opportunity to discuss these things. And so it's only going to get more in your face the older you get. And so why do I bring up these issues in church? Because these issues, the truth and what's right about these issues stems from what you learn in church. It stems from what you believe. And so it directly impacts how you act and how you talk to everyone around you. So knowing the truth about these things is really important for you guys. And not to say, well, my mom and dad believe it, because people can't follow that. But people can follow, you hear about causes, people follow causes. People can't get behind your parents. Oh, well, his mom says it's wrong, I'm going to get behind that cause. But they can get behind the cause of what you believe and what you stand for. And if you're shy about it, who wants to get behind something that's not very confident, that doesn't look like it's going anywhere strong? But if you're just as confident as they are what they believe, whether or not they agree with you, they'll respect you for having a belief. I heard something once, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And you're thinking, I wouldn't fall for anything. But if you don't know where you stand on things, you're going to find yourself kind of falling for things along the way. Well, I don't really know what I believe. Not really sure what they believe, but they have an R by their name. I'm going to vote for them. And then they're the ones who are making decisions on your behalf. Because half of these issues we discussed tonight were not put up for vote for your parents to vote for. They were voted on by the officials that were put into office. And so we're in election season right now. And so whether or not you can vote, you're going to hear a lot about it in your schools, in your classrooms, in the public, on TV, on the news. And it doesn't really matter what CNN thinks or Fox News thinks. What matters is what this says. And you guys are going to hear, you've heard, just being at EMIC, you're going to hear a lot about Israel. And I remember being your age and not quite understanding, like, I don't really understand why Israel is part of government or what does this mean? And so I wanted to give you guys a quick few things to just help simplify it for you. Turn to Genesis 13. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. And this is Abraham that he's speaking to, but it's in regards to Israel, the Israelites. And so you hear that a lot. If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. And that in and of itself, when we read the Deuteronomy scripture, choose life, choose blessing. You want to choose life. You want to choose the blessing. When it says that you will be blessed, it's standing up for something. Jesus was a Jew, so you may think, well, I'm not Jewish. Why do I have to stand up for them? He is what led his lineage, his connection, going to the cross is why we have the freedom we have today, because of those people. And so where I'm from, there's a lot of nationalities. There's bumper stickers on cars that say Samoan pride, and all these different pride in people's lineage and where they come from, because they take pride in that. That's your God's lineage. And so you want to honor where he comes from, honor what he honors. It says in Genesis 17:7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants, after you and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants thereafter." God made a covenant with these people. He made a covenant with Israel. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So some would say that's Old Testament. But he doesn't change. And so he has a covenant with these people. And you think, well, what does this have to do with politics? Well, there's a huge debate in politics about who should have which land over there. And you'll hear all this discussion about, well, this land is for the Palestine, and this land is for the Jews, and they're trying to take more and more of the land away from the Jews. And you think, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it just takes 5 minutes on the news to find out that it's kind of the center of a discussion for most things. Now, why is it a big deal? In Genesis 15, it says, "On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates, the Canaanites, the Kezidites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Pezerites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.'" A lot of big words. But the point is, these are the boundaries that the Lord gave to his people. So it doesn't really matter what CNN says or what Barack Obama says about who gets what land. Your God has said who gets what land. And so that's the bottom line of what's important. You think, why does it matter? Well, there's a lot of war going on over there fighting over this land. And a lot of government people stand up and say that we should take more away from Israel. And that's a lot of what the Great Divide is lately, as you hear about these fights about that. And you're like, well, why is that a big deal? If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you will be cursed. So there's a lot of people getting some negative ramifications, big word, consequences for the actions. If you curse Israel, it's not going to go well with you. And so when you talk about politics, it's another big issue about who supports what. And so finding out what you guys believe now is important to identify, because when you get in situations, it's harder to think through what you believe when on the spot you need an answer. Or when you're in the classroom and there's a big debate going on and you're thinking, I know this is wrong, but I don't know why. So you don't want to raise your hand and speak up against it because you don't really know what you're going to say other than I disagree. And so that's when I was highly motivated in my college government class to find out what I believe and to stand up for it, because no one else in there was doing that. Everybody in there thought the teacher was telling the truth and that everything that he thought was false was really bad and those are stupid people. And he was talking about people like me. And I wanted to stand up against it, and I realized I didn't know as much as I needed to know. So I got in the Word. I got in the original documents that founded this nation to find out what it really meant. And that's what I could stand on and be backed with. And so I've given you guys a lot of things to think about tonight, a lot of things to find out what do I believe. And I hope that you take these scriptures and you go back and you ask the Lord, show me what I believe. Don't wait until you're 18 and 19. And if you're 18 or older and you're not registered to vote, do it now. Because you can't complain about something if you don't do anything about it. Is that an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. I thought it was a question, so I just wanted to make sure. But it's important for you guys to find out what these things are that you believe, to identify so that you can stand up for something. Because there's people standing up for things all over the place. And they're very loud, and they make you think, is that how everybody thinks? And it's not until you realize that when you're around a collective group of people that the people might think the way you think too. But it takes you guys getting a loud voice so that you can impact and do something about it. So that you can change these legislations. So you can change the people who are in office who are making these decisions on your behalf, that are affecting your future. dare I say, your children's future. You're like, that's so far down the road, it doesn't matter. But it does matter, because things that were voted years ago, Roe versus Wade, those things decades ago are now impacting our decisions. So the decisions that are being made now are going to impact, and it's a domino effect. So it's really important that you guys, I've just listed three or four different hot topics of social issues, but it's important to identify what you believe, not based on mom and dad, not based on grandma and grandpa or based on your best friend, but based on the Word of God. And so I challenge you guys, if there's something that I said tonight that made you kind of go, I don't know about that, or I can't believe she said that, write down the scriptures that I said. Go back and look at them and let the Lord minister to you on what you are to believe. And then know what those scriptures are. So then when you're in a debate, you don't go, it's somewhere in here. I mean, I don't really know where. But you could open right to it and say, Romans 13 says, do not participate in wild parties. This is what my God says, and this is what I'm going to do. Instead of saying, mom and dad say I can't, so I'm not. You know, you can use that. My parents used to say that. Well, if you're not comfortable, just say, I told you you can't. And I'm sure you guys have heard that before. Just tell them I said no. You know, and that works sometimes, but you have to have a reason behind that, something to back up why you're making your decisions, because they don't really care what your parents think. It's clear in everything else I said about authority that a lot of people don't base their decisions off of that anymore. There's got to be a higher power and a higher, higher reason. And so keep that in mind. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. So I want you guys to find out, what do you stand for so you don't fall for anything, so that you're strong in what you believe and why you believe it. It's just as important why you believe something as what you believe, because people are going to question it. People are always questioning things. Why? Why? But why? It's like the little three-year-old. Why? And you could get down to the very basic answer, but why? And so you're going to find people ask you, well, why? And they'll adamantly disagree with you. And so you need to have that answer ready for them. Amen? Amen.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information, or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.